I want to talk this morning about a servant's heart. Each of us are called to be to serve one another. We are called to be God's witnesses. We are called to lead by example. We're called to be lights in the midst of darkness. We are called to be salt in this generation. A city set on a hill that cannot be hid. So we are called. Praise God. We are called to do all these things. But what does it really mean to have a servant's heart? In Matthew 20, we're going to start reading in verse 25. But just before that, James and John came to Jesus and wanted one to sit on his right side and one on the left side. And the other disciples heard about that, and they got a little upset for some reason. Verse 25, but Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. If you have a wicked heart like mine, recognize an opportunity. Want to be great in the kingdom of heaven? Serve people. Let me tell you about a servant's heart. God looks on our heart, and he recognizes that if our goal is to be great in heaven, and that's the only reason we serve people, that's not having a servant's heart. That's like reading that verse that says, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him to drink. Thereby you will heap coals of fire upon his head. And you're like, yeah, that's how I can get him. Kill him with kindness. Or you read where God is talking to Solomon, says, ask what you will. And Solomon said, give me the wisdom to lead your people. And God says, well, because you asked for wisdom and not riches and honor and victory in battle and all of these things, I will give you all of these things and the wisdom. And you're like, yes, know how to manipulate God. Guess what? We don't get to manipulate God. God looks on our heart. He knows exactly what's going on. So if we're doing things merely for the benefit, we're not doing it from a servant's heart. Instead, the goal and the purpose of this scripture, the purpose of this passage, is to teach us that since God looks on our heart and God knows exactly what's going on, not to try and exalt ourselves, but to do whatever we do out of our relationship with the Lord. How we treat others is a reflection of our relationship with God. You know that? If we recognize that God is wondrous in all of his ways, and he is worthy of praise, he is worthy of honor, and we recognize that, and then we remember that people are made in the image of God, and we serve them because we love God. We serve them because we care about the things of the Lord. The things that are important to God are important to us. That's the purpose, and that's the call, and that's the way to do it. To have that heart that is serving others because that's how we get to serve God. Out of a heart of love and a heart of compassion for others because of what God has done in our own heart. In Luke 14, starting with verse 7, another one of those passages that reach out and catch you sometimes. So, set up. Jesus is at a gathering, and he noticed how people are trying to get the best seats. I want to be up front. Anybody ever been guilty of trying to get the best seats? Or, I mean, beside me? Verse 7 says, so he told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down at the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come up and say to you, give place to this man. Then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Same thing as this passage. I sit at the lowest place because I'm expecting to be brought up higher. What's the attitude of our heart? Is our heart set to serve? Is our heart set to love God by loving His people? John said, how can we claim to love God who we have not seen if we don't love our brothers who we have seen? If we don't love the people around us, how can we claim to love God? But it's that heart of a servant, a heart to do whatever God would have us to do, to be willing to do whatever it is that God has in mind for us. Doesn't mean it's always pleasant, doesn't mean it's always fun. Sometimes it's quite difficult and sometimes it's quite painful. But are we willing to do what God calls us to do because it's God that called us to do it? Because we love Him. So, to get an example, an understanding of what it looks like to love others and what it looks like, what our mission, what our purpose ought to be, let's go back into, still in Luke, but go back to chapter 4. Starting reading at verse 16. And this is the very start of Jesus' ministry. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Having a servant's heart means being willing to go and do whatever God has called us to do. Recognizing that God is the one who has anointed us. God is the one who has equipped us. God is the one who has made us able. God is the one who gives us the divine appointments and puts us in contact with the brokenhearted, with the poor, with the captives, with those who are blind or who at least can't see the things going on around them. I'll think of his name in a minute, Jonah. In the book of Jonah, where Jonah is going to Nineveh. He doesn't want to go, but he goes and he preaches and the people repent. And Jonah's sitting on the hill watching it, waiting on God to destroy these people. Because those are some nasty people. And God sent the vine to grow up and give him shade. And then he sent the worm to eat the vine so that the vine died. And Jonah is so upset. And God said, "Why do you care for the vine, but you don't care about all these poor people? Don't you care about all these people that just don't understand?" And I don't remember the number, but there are thousands of people in the city that can't tell their right hand from their left, that are so lost, that are so confused, and you would want them destroyed. But God says, those are the people you should have compassion on. God has sent us, as I mentioned in prayer, He's the one who knit us together in our mother's womb. He knows everything about us. He brought us here in this day and age, in this place and time, in this geographical location, in this chronological period, in this company. He's the one who directs our steps. And He has us here for a purpose. Every person we meet, God knew about it in advance. Every time our paths cross somebody, God is aware of it. And it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Is our heart set to be a servant of the Lord so that we are willing to say what God calls us to say? We are willing to be where God calls us to be. We are willing to do what God calls us to do. Because of our love for Him, not because of some benefit or some good thing we get out of it. Are we willing to reach out to our fellow men and women? Are we willing to reach out and look for the needs around us because we love God? And if we are, and we have a servant's heart, And if we're reaching out to do it because, hey, the Bible says, if I take care of you, God's going to bless me. He says, I can't outgive God. It's that, see, he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will repay. So if I give money to this homeless guy, God has to bless me. But that's if that's the attitude of our heart, that is not a servant's heart. It's trying to trick God. It's trying to manipulate God. I don't know if you've heard any of those either televangelists or been to some crusade, and they're all, you know, if you give this much money, God's going to give you this much money. Heard them say it? Seen them do it? We can't trick God. We can't manipulate God. God knows what's going on in our heart. He knows if we have a servant's heart. I love being able to help out at ministers' meetings. We get together with other ministers. What can I do to help? And I don't do it. I honestly don't do it for some sort of benefit. I don't do it for some sort of praise or anything like that. I do it because I'm tired of being the one everybody looks to. I want to look to somebody else. Here at the church, being the pastor, I'm the one responsible. I enjoy being someplace where I can just help. Where I don't have the responsibility, I can just reach out. I can just be a blessing. I'm not complaining. I'm not tearing down. I'm not trying to do anything about what God has called me to do. He has placed me here because He knows better. He's placed me here because He has a plan and purpose. But I've said before, if I was looking for a pastor, wouldn't be this guy. But God has a plan, and God knows more than I do. But my heart is to serve the body of Christ. My heart is to be a blessing to others. My heart is to see unity in the body of Christ. And as long as people are doing things from their own, one place the King James calls it, your own vainglory, your own trying to lift yourself up. If you're doing it for that reason, you're not doing it according to God's plan, and you're not doing it right. But when we serve the Lord, when we serve the Lord with gladness in our heart, when we serve the Lord with an expectation that there might not be anything that I can bring to God except a heart willing to serve Him. But if God puts people in my path that I can be a blessing to, it's a joy to be a blessing. It's a joy to reach out. Little things. You never know what little thing you do that is going to be a blessing in somebody's life. It might be something so simple as giving them a smile. It might be something so simple as when we're gathered together, we go to the pastor's meeting. Picking up, taking the dirty dishes into the kitchen. Picking up dirty plates. Little things. What little thing can I do to be a blessing? Get there early and maybe try to help them set up. Try to help be a servant. When we go to ministry meetings with the ministry association we're affiliated with, or I'm credentialed through, when we go to those meetings, they ask us to, if we'll do the name tags and run the registration table. Absolutely. How can I help? How can I do it? Because it's good to be a blessing. It's good to be able to reach out and help somebody. God has blessed me. God has blessed Debbie. God has blessed all of us. How can we share what God has given? The fact that I have the ability to stand, when I've talked about this before, I shouldn't be able to walk, but here I am. Because God has a plan. Because God heals. Because God has a purpose for my life. And that gratefulness, that grateful heart of enjoying what God has given, of doing what God has called us to do, of being the light that God has called us to be, shows through our attitudes. I don't bless others because God has to bless me. It says so right there. But rather, Lord, how can I serve you? David said at one point, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the temple of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Lord, I just want to be in your house. I just want to be in your presence. Whatever you would have me to do, I just want to do it because I love you. Philippians 2, beginning with verse 1. Says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Don't just look for your own benefit. Look how you can benefit others. That's what Paul just told the Philippians here. How can you be a blessing? Look for those opportunities. Colossians 4, beginning with verse 5. Paul, talking to the believers in Colossae, says, "Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each one." He says, think about what you're saying, but let it be with grace. Walk in wisdom to those who are the outside. Recognize that people are watching us. And walk in that grace, having that love, so that you can show the love of God to the people around you. Final passage, 1 Peter 4, beginning with verse 8. Says, "Above all things, have fervent love one for another, for love will cover the multitude of sins." Stop right there for just a moment. Have a fervent love for one another, for love will cover the multitude of sins. Have a fervent love and be forgiving. If you have that love, you are gracious, you are graceful, you are merciful to the people around you. Because of what God has done in my life. Because what God has done in our lives, we can be graceful and merciful to the people we encounter. We can choose to not be offended. We can choose to be gracious. We can choose to be loving. Because we recognize that if God hadn't been merciful in my life, I wouldn't be here. If God hadn't decided that He had a plan and purpose for me, I wouldn't be here. You don't hit 94,000 volts, get bounced off a wall 20 feet away, and get up most of the time. Here I am. You don't hit 4,600 volts standing in ankle-deep water, get thrown across the room, and get up without a bruise. But here I am. God is merciful. God is graceful. And He has done such wonderful things in my life. My life is not my own. Your life is not your own. Continuing on, verse 9. "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong all glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Peter says, everything you do, let it be a reflection of your relationship with God. Everything you do, let it be a testimony. Jesus told us that the goal is for others to see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Everything we do should be for the glory of God. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all for the glory of God. Whatsoever we do in our lives, recognize that God is the one who's given us the strength. God is the one who's given us the ability, and have a heart of serving God in serving others. Jesus, when He was reading from Isaiah, said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Is the Spirit of the Lord upon you? Has God blessed you? Has God poured out His Spirit into you? The answer for all of us is absolutely. If we are saved, if we have surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ, if we have called upon the name of the Lord, that name, again, character, honor, and authority, if we relied upon Him. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 53, verses 10 through 12, when we claim His soul as a sacrifice for sin, He that is God looks down and sees Him, that is Jesus, standing in our place and is satisfied. We have the righteousness of Jesus Christ imparted to us. We have the forgiveness of sin because of Jesus Christ and a whole new life, the life that we now live in the flesh. We live by faith of the Son of God who loves us and gave Himself for us. Our lives are not our own. And how we go through this life is a reflection of our understanding of that. The things we do in this life are a reflection of what God has done in our lives. So Peter tells us, whatever you do, if whatever it is that we do, do it with the ability that God supplies so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in our lives. That heart of a servant, to serving our Father by serving those people around us, by serving our Lord, by being a blessing to the people we encounter. He's called each and every one of us to have the heart of a servant. Jesus said there, when we first started, if any would be great among you, let him become your servant. And he who you would be your ruler, let him become the slave of all. We are called to show God's love to the people around us. And as long as we're doing it, as long as our goal or our expectation or our plan is to do it just because basically trying to manipulate God, that's not a servant's heart. But recognizing where He's brought us from. The very fact that we have breath to breathe. The very fact that we are alive, every last one of us has had life-threatening situations happen in our lives. Every last one of us. You know? Some of you just recovered from COVID. There were people who died with COVID. You're still here and healthy. There are people who have had heart attacks and strokes. There are people who have had that who have died, yet God has us here. People who have been in bad car accidents. Whatever the situation is, God has brought us through. We sang the song earlier where it says, here I lift my Ebenezer. This far the Lord has been with me. Can we give praise to God that He has kept us this far? And the fact that He has kept us this far means He is not yet finished. He is not yet done with what He's called us to do. We have not yet walked it all out. Praise God, He is still at work. Praise God, He still has a purpose for us. Praise God, we are still part of His plan for this day and age, for this place and time, for this physical location, for this temporal location, for the people around us. Paul said at one point, I'm at a loss. What should I do? For to depart is far better for me, but to stay is far better for you. Well, guess what? God has us staying. So He has people for us to minister to. He has people for us to encourage, people for us to reach out to. Because God doesn't waste anything. Scripture says He causes all things to work together for good to them who love Him, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God has a plan for each and everything, each and every one of us, each and every circumstance, each and every situation. He's already said He's going to bring about good. He already said He has something going on. So praise God. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You, Father, that You are working in us and continuing, Father, to mold us and to make us and to teach us of Your righteousness and teach us of Your grace. We thank You, Father, that You have called us and have a plan and purpose for our hearts and for our lives, Lord. And have a plan and purpose for those people that we encounter. We thank You, Lord, for what You're doing. Knowing, Father, that while we don't have all the answers and won't have all the answers this side of heaven, one day I will know even as also I am known. One day I will understand and will recognize, Father, Your hands directing my steps. You're guiding me through everything, Father. I will even recognize, Lord, the reasons for the tears, the reasons for the pain, the reasons for the turmoil. Knowing, Father, that You have done great things, not only in me, Father, but through me, to touch the lives and hearts of others. You have called us to be Your faithful witnesses. You've called us to be ambassadors of heaven. You've called us to be Your trophies of grace. but you've called us to be your ministers, to minister your love and your grace to others. So Father, we thank you for it. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done and continue to do. And we recognize, Lord, that you are Lord of all. I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.